Good morning, everybody. Monday, here we are, and we are ready. We're ready for you, and we're ready for the week, and we're ready for all of the things.
We are?
Well, I hope you are, because they're coming at you, whether you like it or not. We've got producers Flex and James ready to do their thing. Well, James is wandering around, milling about with his arms sort of around tit height.
T-Rex height.
Oh, I don't know what he's doing there. He always looks busier than he actually is.
Of course.
You know?
But that's, yeah, that's what you've got to do.
Anyway, how are you?
All good.
Everybody, you remember Princess Leanne from Belgium? how are things?
So, speaking of Belgium, I'm reading
Joseph Bill Conrad's Bryson. Heart of Darkness?
No. Oh. No. That one we did in varsity.
Depressing.
But depressing. No, but I'm getting into all of Bill Bryson's novels again. Doesn't matter how old they are.
They're
really good. Yeah.
And listen, the best thing, it's almost like an undiscovered secret these days because people don't know books anymore, right? They're so busy scrolling on the internet that they've forgotten that these amazing things called books. Like, I know, okay, this is quite revolutionary. So many of you are going to go, oh, that's not true. Don't talk nonsense. They're these things called books. They're really fantastic. They're so interesting and diverse, and they're many different kinds. And you can hold them in your hand.
And you can start and stop them whenever you want.
It's amazing. And it doesn't send you notifications if you stopped reading at page 126. We suggest you carry on.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. The book doesn't talk to you. It doesn't ping. It doesn't notify. And then you can just pick it up and carry on. And you can immerse yourself in a whole world of imagination that hitherto was unavailable to you. Isn't that amazing?
It actually takes a lot of willpower to put down your phone and pick up a book.
Wow.
And what got me started yesterday was my phone battery died unexpectedly.
Oh.
It didn't warn me. And so while it was charging, I picked up the book that I'd already started.
Uh-huh.
It was just so nice.
I've got about 4 on my bedside table that I haven't even started yet. Anyway, it is a nice thing to do. So you had a more or less relaxing weekend?
Yes, more or less. Family birthdays.
Oh, nice.
That sort of thing. But no, pretty relaxed.
Well, we're here this morning because we have news. We have things to talk about. There's stuff going on in the world. Where do we begin? Sure. Well, I could suggest one or two things. We could start off with the AKA murder case, which is trending in the Durban High Court. That's advancing. So here's what we can get from that. I'm just going to go to the latest stuff that they've got there. Because, I mean, I kind of, to be honest, I thought that was already all done and gone away. But then I suddenly thought, oh, please, don't be stupid. The Senzo Miyua case is still going, you know?
Exactly.
So 5 guys are accused of the murder of South African rapper, a.k.a. Forbes, his friend Tebelo Tibs Motsoane, and they've been officially indicted by the state. The case is now moved from the Durban Magistrates Court to the Durban High Court, where the trials are set to begin on May the 8th of this year.
Sure, so still a way to go.
Oh, but that's in court time, that's like nothing. Usually you need months and months. The accused are currently in custody with their formal legal proceedings advancing as the prosecution prepares its case. So that's what people are talking about at the moment. What else are they talking about? Well, there's a monkey-induced blackout in Sri Lanka. So we often wonder how do other countries fare compared to us when it comes to power? Well, now you got to be super careful with this story, right? But on the 9th of February, which is just yesterday, Sri Lanka faced a significant power outage when a monkey at the Panadura substation came into contact with a grid transformer. You can imagine how that ended for the monkey.
Oh, goodness me. That was a bit of a zap, yeah.
So anyway, led to widespread blackouts across the island, with some areas experiencing five or more hours without electricity.
What shame.
Poor them. That must be terrible. I mean, I can't imagine how bad that must be.
Ooh.
Anyway, the incident, which was eventually resolved with power being restored nationwide, sparked discussions on the vulnerability of the country's electrical infrastructure to unexpected disruptions and interruptions. The event gained international attention, highlighting both the humorous and serious aspects of wildlife interaction with, well, I don't know how anyone could get super serious about this. I mean, okay, so sure, you 5 whole hours without electricity. I mean, most South Africans are sitting there going, please, bitch. Like, this is so simple. We could handle this with our eyes closed.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it's one monkey. So you could be the world's biggest conservationist. And he was looking for cuck.
It was one of those days.
One of those days, one of those monkeys, and he got what was coming to him. I actually have a picture of it, and it's very frazzled. And
oh, fried. No, oh, yeah. I don't want to see that.
Crispy at the edges.
Crispy monkey.
No. Well, I mean, what do you want to do? So apparently that's the worst story out of Sri Lanka.
Sure. Oh,
to have their problems.
Wow.
Yeah. So whatever you have happened to do or not do this weekend, not nearly as bad as that.
No, poor old Sri Lanka. Spare a thought for Sri Lanka.
Yeah, those are the only stories that I can think of because nothing else happened. I mean, nothing happened like where, for example, Donald Trump said that white people are allowed to go and settle in America mm-hmm. as refugees because they are the victims of persecution in South Africa.
Mm.
And what's amazing about this is that, you know, normally when someone says refugees welcome, everybody in the world goes, oh, well, it must be really shit for those refugees. Not here. Like, everyone climbs on the bandwagon with opinions of every kind, all of them backed by massive hostility. It only takes, like, a little bit of noise online for people to just go completely gaga. And I noticed that Julius Malema decided it was time for him to, like, do and say something because, God knows, he's had a couple of months. I mean, since the election, really. Mm. They hit the skids in the election. Then all of his mates just like started dropping like flies and joining MK. So the Oak's got nothing going for him.
Yeah.
It's really quite shit for him.
Yeah, he's been quiet.
But thank
until
God.
Now.
Thank God there's always the opportunity to turn everything into a race war. And Julius knows an opportunity like that when he sees one.
Is that what he's hopped onto this
weekend? Well, yeah. And a bunch of things have been resurfacing of things that he said about like killing white people and all the rest.
Of course, yeah.
So Elon said he should be put on a terror watch list and should be sanctioned.
Well, we know if Elon says that, then it should go, right?
Well, Elon's not that many steps away from the Oval Office where there is a guy who, with one stroke of the pen, can shut down the SWIFT systems, which move international money around.
As in Taylor Swift?
Yes, that one, who also we'll get to in a minute. But yeah, you can make things very uncomfortable. I don't know if Julius will ever be able to buy a Breitling again. I mean, it's going to be hard for him. It's going to be so hard.
Goodness me.
So that's going on. And then everybody got hugely like hit up by this. So if a foreign government decides that people in your country, a certain group of people in your country are refugees and that they're welcome there, what's it to you? You know, if Zimbabwe decided tomorrow that Malawians were allowed to come south through Zambia or whatever and come and settle in Zim because they decided they wanted to help the people of Malawi for whatever reason, why would you care?
Is there not a fear of losing experienced farmers?
No, because a lot of no.
Promote food security.
No, it's amazing to me. Like, you know, the people who talk the most about how bad racism is, they're like, oh, racism is a terrible thing. It's awful. Racism is the biggest problem we have in South Africa. You know those people? Mm-hmm. They're the same ones who like could not wait to say, get out, you filthy, dirty whites.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. So it really just, you just have to prod it with a stick and then suddenly people's true nature shows. And you're like, oh, okay, so you really do. You're like filled with seething and loathing and hatred. I see that now. Okay. And I wonder why, because it's not, you know, if you hate people and someone offers them a place to stay, then they'll go. You should be thrilled about that. Mm-hmm. And certainly some people were. I don't know. There are also lots and lots of white people who thought this was ridiculous and said,
yeah,
I don't want to go anywhere. I like it here. Thank you very much. And
well, I mean, there were official responses from big groups. But then also this morning reading a letter from a farmer in Limpopo, I think it's Theo de Jager, who said very, very kindly explained a little bit more about the situation.
Yeah.
But then also said, we actually need help in training the next generation of farmers. That's what we need.
Well,
people who've been given land by the government and then just left to fend for themselves without, you know, any sort of training or education.
We will see what happens. Mm. But, you know, the US can make things very, very uncomfortable. I do believe that they have decided to end all foreign aid. So someone I know actually has a very close friend who worked for USAID. They got a letter or an email last week saying, pack up your shit and go, basically.
Okay.
Get back to America because you don't have a job anymore. Us. Mm. That's what they said. So in America, they still go, you're fired.
And those are Americans, right?
Mm. Well, so I think there's a lot going on. And you certainly can't say that the first 3 weeks, because that's all it's been, of the Trump presidency has been like slow. It's a bit of a slow start, you know? It's been a very slow start. Jeez. I don't know that many people are doing things at this stage. It's not a lot happening.
My word, it's been busy.
Half asleep like Biden was for 4 years. I don't think Biden did in four years what Trump did in like a day. You've got to ask yourself this, like, how cuck was that guy? How out of touch? Oh, ooh, ooh.
Uh-oh.
I got to talk to you about a new show I started watching. Janine, who works here, said to me, you have to watch the show. It's called Paradise.
I don't know if I've seen it.
Okay, it's great. Like, it's all about how, well, I don't want to spoil the story, but it's an American kind of political drama.
Okay, no, then I haven't.
And now that I've seen...
Bachelor in Paradise.
That's a different thing. Now that I've seen two episodes of it, I suddenly have noticed, there are billboards everywhere and it's being advertised everywhere. I'm like, you see, if you're not even conscious of something, it just doesn't enter your world. Like, I've been driving past a billboard every single day with this show being advertised on it. I never saw the billboard. Mm. It might as well have not been there. Poof, like a genie.
Yeah.
It just disappeared. Anyway, great show. Only two episodes in, but it's very good. So there's something for me to do while you're reading your book.
What platform is it on?
I don't know. One of them. I honestly don't know because I just watch things.
Yeah.
Again, I don't pay attention to these. You know, it used to matter. I'd say, Leanne, it's on SABC2 at 7 o'clock tonight. And you'd go, oh, let me make a note. Anyway, so that's going on. And then we've got lots of stupid stories from all over the world. Apparently, do you remember those? It was a couple, a South African couple, that went to Vietnam.
Yes.
And they died mysteriously. They went to a bar or something?
Yeah, it seemed like they'd ordered some alcohol to take to their rooms. So a British woman and South African partner.
Sorry, it's quite right.
It was so bizarre. No one could figure out what had happened. They were staying in separate rooms. They'd moved to Vietnam. They were living there.
Mm.
They were staying in separate rooms at this establishment, and both found dead in their rooms with the doors closed. They've finally figured out what happened.
Yeah. And what happened? What happened?
What happened? They'd ordered from another hotel two bottles of limoncello.
Was it a rival hotel that wanted to kill the people in the one hotel so that they could have more customers at their hotel?
I have no idea why this person...
This is Cluedo, isn't it? Isn't this Cluedo? Was it Colonel Mustard in the study with the lead piping?
No, it was the barman in the hotel rooms with the limoncello.
Really? Is that how it happened?
Yeah, absolutely.
I never really liked limoncello, I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's not my favorite either. But
so what happened?
They found that the limoncello was heavily dosed, like 80%.
With what?
Ethanol.
Jesus.
So
pure alcohol.
I don't know how the two had managed to drink it, but anyway, they did. Just sitting casually.
Well, one of them was South African. We can handle it a lot. In fact, I'm surprised the ethanol got the guy down.
Well, yeah, she actually woke up the next day with a massive hangover, and friends came to see them. And she said, oh, I'm feeling like this. I don't know how Quentin's feeling, because he had a lot more than me.
Yeah.
And then she was complaining of horrible stomach pains and obviously being sick. and said, you know, I'll sleep it off.
Yeah, meanwhile.
And the next day they were both gone.
Jesus.
Because it can cause, well, firstly, she was starting to see spots in front of her eyes because it can cause blindness and then eventually death.
I wonder how many people puzzled hard this weekend and are feeling that way right now and are going to...
Like seeing spots.
They're going to go see a doctor this morning because they're going to be like, whoa, I think I might have what those people had.
Ooh,
but
no.
That's very hectic. So, yeah, they added...
They've arrested the barman.
The barman. So he, what, was he just...
I don't know. Just making like homebrewed stuff and... Well, I don't understand what the motive would have been.
No, I mean, maybe he hated them. They were terrible customers.
Maybe. Maybe yeah. more.
She had stomach pains. Maybe she's sitting there at the bar farting the whole time. The other guy was like saying rude things about his bar. Oh, your bar's shit. I'm going to just pour like all this pure ethanol into your limoncello. Wouldn't you know?
Yeah, because they must have had, if they've got two bottles.
Yeah.
There was a bottle in each room.
Anyway, I mean, it is pretty horrible because places like Vietnam, they have a good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were talking about this just the other day, that it's a rare thing to happen. And they rely so much, countries like that, on tourism, that of course they're going to find out how this happened. They need to get to the bottom of it so mm-hmm. that they can make people feel that it's safe to go there and spend their money and stay in the hotels. And now they've got this crazy bartender out of the way.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what happens. But it's still... Obviously, very, very shit for the families involved.
Yeah, of course.
Apparently, the UK Foreign Office has a cat.
Oh, yeah.
That is their chief mouser. That's what they call him. the former chief mouser of the UK's Foreign Commonwealth Office has come out of retirement to serve as a feline relations consultant in the island of Bermuda.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so it's called Palmerston, the cat. The rescue cat, known for his charisma and work ethic, retired in 2020 to live with a diplomat called Andrew Murdoch, who has now brought him back into service after becoming Bermuda's governor. So this cat has worked very, very well as a chief mouser
mm-hmm.
at the Foreign Commonwealth Office, now has a job in Bermuda as well. So, you know,
what
you
a way can to retire.
You can retire and then they'll call you back when they really need you.
Yeah, that's it. Like, when you've much expertise.
Yeah, we're desperate and we need the most experienced chief mouser.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, right. As long as it's in a tropical place. And they're like, yes, no problem.
No,
Palmerston.
Yeah. No catastrophes.
No catastrophes. How are your cats?
I'm down to two.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the least you've had since your teens.
Yes, pretty much so. No, I haven't acquired any more. No more have found me. The last one that found me is still around. And he's a monster, really.
As in big?
Both. Personality and size.
Yeah.
But tends to wake me up at about 3:30 in the morning with claws to the face.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Mm.
How lovely.
And the other one's
why don't you just get a gun or or ask those people in Sri Lanka who electrocuted the monkey to come and help you. You can't have that happen while you sleep.
Yeah.
Like an attack.
Yes, to wake me up for tuna.
An attack cat.
An attack cat, a cat that attacks. And the other one is old and sweet, both gingers. But yes, thanks for asking.
All right, well, I know that you used to have several hundred cats.
I might get a dog again. I quite enjoyed having a dog.
Yeah, you also had that very small little dog.
Yes.
It was tiny. You could fit it in your hand, right?
Little miniature pincher.
Oh, and it would go, but it was this big.
Yeah.
Tiny, tiny little dog, like almost like a rat.
Yes.
Very small. All right. So also, there are two South African cities that, I don't know if this is really taking a hell of a chance. So apparently... Two of our cities are vying for the title of Africa's new Silicon Valley, all right? So with a pinch of salt, we got Cape Town and Johannesburg as Africa's Silicon Valley, driven by fintech, software development, and green tech. Cape Town, of course, there are lots of tech firms like Yoko and Takealot. They're a fintech leader. Joburg has an IT infrastructure and software development sort of base. Government is looking at giving out work visas for people who want to work here remotely. And they aim to attract high-earning foreign tech workers, with tech-driven wealth expected to surpass 30% of South Africa's economy by 2045. Both cities are drawing entrepreneurs and investors, solidifying their role as key innovation hubs on the continent. All right, so regardless of what you hear in the news, if you are listening to us in, I don't know, San Francisco, or you live in Shanghai, wherever you might be in the world, and you are in a position where you could work from anywhere, this is not a bad place to come and work from. South Africa in general. I mean, Cape Town's lovely, a little bit more expensive, slightly worse people. But Johannesburg, very nice. Like, people here are nice. They are relaxed. They are fun. They are chilled. You could probably, if you've got like serious tech money, you could probably buy the biggest houses in Joburg.
Mm-hmm.
You could have space for you and 20 of your friends. You could have, I don't know, 12 people working for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you never have to lift a finger. And you could probably pay that with like 2 days of your monthly salary if you're earning, you know, some serious tech dollars. So not a bad option.
Yeah.
Come and work and live here. Then listen to what you see and hear in the press. It's not so bad. We got to get to some sport. Where's James? Is he? Oh, is he taking a shit?
He's having a nervous poo before the sport.
You know, I don't understand why people, while they're in the middle of important things that is their job, that's the time they decide to go for poo.
Some people are cursed that way, Gareth.
What, just their bowels are in control?
No, that it's as soon as anything remotely exciting is happening.
Here we go. James, you take a shit. Oh, the opposite.
Yeah.
So you had a shit put into you. What does that mean? Come and do the sport. What were you doing? You're below the weather. You use the term under. It's all right. No, speak English, huh?
Hi.
Hello, James.
How's it?
All right. So, first of all, everyone wants to know, the only thing people care about is not how many times they showed Taylor Swift at the Super Bowl. It is, how did Accrington Stanley do over the weekend?
They didn't play this weekend.
Ah, shit.
I know.
On to the Super Bowl. It was all about Taylor Swift. It always is.
Right? Well, it was even more about Taylor Swift when Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback, was it was announced that he was injured before the game. So
they asked her
boring.
To play.
Well, because he's like the star.
It was like
guy, right?
Taylor must be our saving grace now as a singer in the stands. So I don't know how well.
But she was offered. I didn't know this. She was offered the halftime show and she just declined.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know Kendrick Lamar did it.
Kendrick did it, but they said to her, "Hey Taylor, do you want to do the halftime show?" And she's like, "Ugh, no,
halftime, guys."
No, and who was she there with?
Her two friends, and I can't figure out that it's Ice Spice and like Merle Marlington or something. I don't know.
Merle Marlington,
Alison Arlington, or something.
Okay, Ice Spice, huh?
Right. Ice Spice with My Little Eyes.
It doesn't sound to me like she has real friends because she's always got different people there with her,
and she always travels in like groups. Eh?
Yeah, she's one of those girly girls who likes to have her girls around, you know?
But how many of them do you need? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, she needs a lot to carry her bags of money out of there.
All right. That's my goal, to have all my friends carry my bags.
They were apparently taking bets on how many times the camera would show Taylor Swift.
Okay, and?
People were going for like 5 or 6 times. I'm not sure how many eventually it was. I didn't watch. I don't watch the Super Bowl. I don't know anything about American football. As far as I can tell, they stop and start every 2 minutes.
And most of them go to ad breaks. Do you know how many like little ad segments?
So it's a sport that was developed around commercial breaks.
Well, it's American. That's what
they're doing, right?
Adverts. Yeah.
Okay. So who played? The Philadelphia
Eagles.
Kansas City
Chiefs.
Okay. Right. And who do we like here, James?
No one, because I'm not super into American sports.
Okay.
But based on colors.
By the way, if anybody came to this show this morning hoping to, I don't know, learn everything that you needed to know about American football, what are you, a fucking idiot? Well, you're not going to learn that here, not from us three. But all right, what do we have at the end? What's the score?
Hang on. It's now just not loaded anything.
All right. So while James's computer works like his actual
brain. This is
brain,
the second time this has happened, by the way.
So the interesting thing about the Super Bowl, in case you don't know this, is that it is during the Super Bowl halftime show that the most expensive advertising in the world is bought and sold and played. So you will see some of the very best ads that anyone has ever made, because if you make a terrific ad and you put it on during the Super Bowl halftime show, you will get the most people in America seeing it. More people will watch the Super Bowl game than any other thing, including World Cup soccer, which we think is great, but Americans don't care about. The Olympics, which, I mean, unless they're Norwegian pole vaulters, I'm not that into, but, you know, I can be persuaded. And then all the other stuff that you think, wow, there'll be a lot of people watching this, like presidential inaugurations and nothing. The Super Bowl wins hands down. It's the most important, whatever it is, 5 or 6 minutes in advertising anywhere in the world. And it's never gone. It's never gone down. It's just, it just keeps getting bigger.
And companies just like, they hire the biggest sports legends or TV stars or whatever from the last 30 years to just star in their adverts. And it's the weirdest like crossover ads you'll see, like Tom Brady. Well, and
now that Joe Biden has got an agent in Hollywood, I mean, maybe they can get him to be I mean, who would want Joe Biden? And who wouldn't? He's what so would great. He's so charismatic. He's so awake.
Do an ad for a jam company or something.
No, I think the best he could do is probably a mattress business. You know, those ones where, hi, I'm Joe Biden. I've spent most of my presidency sleeping, and I endorse this mattress. Adult diapers.
I had the same thought, actually.
All right, what do we got, James? Go on.
So in the world of, oh, wait, let me do the score.
Jesus,
the
James,
Bowl
let's
first.
Go. Come on.
The score.
Why did you
Super
wake
Bowl?
Up with half your brains pouring out of your ears?
40-22, Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl. Now to the world of sports that people actually care about.
Yes.
Like the UFC.
Okay. Yes, of course. Now,
what Drickus
you
does.
Can't tell me that. Imagine if you were one of the, I don't know, five South Africans who you were so hungover or so drunk or so switched off yesterday that you're coming to us for the news that Drickus won.
It's only taken us 15 minutes to get there. So.
No, James. Five.
Wow.
But carry on. Tell us what happened during the match.
Drickus was up against Sean Strickland to defend his UFC title.
Yeah.
And what he did was he just tapped him in the nose. And all of a sudden, Sean Strickland's blood nose, broken nose.
But Sean Strickland looked like, I mean, he looked like he'd been at war with the orcs in Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
He looked terrible. Yeah. So Drickus must have such power behind those moves of his.
Oh, for sure. The little pop that he did on his nose and then just immediately blood down his face was wild. So Drickus did what Drickus needed to do.
Yeah.
He's now 9-0, old Drickus. So he's doing what Drickus needs to do in the world of UFC. There was also rugby this weekend, Six Nations. Italy beat Wales to eventually avoid the wooden spoon in the tournament this year. England were destined to upset one team, and France were the unlucky ones, winning 26-25 at home against Le Bleu. The URC, there was also URC this weekend, as well as cricket. The SA20 came to an end this past weekend. MI Cape Town beat Sunrisers Eastern Cape in the final to win their first trophy. PSL Sundowns, they played Pirates. Huge, huge game this weekend. Sundowns winning that one 4-1. I asked producer Flex how the game was this weekend, because he's a Sundowns fan, and he said, no, we just had to humble some people a little bit. So that's the feedback on that era. Sundowns beating Pirates 4-1 and going 9 points clear on the top of the log. They're kind of like the Liverpool of the PSL, even if I do say so myself.
Oh, okay. Everybody knows that you're a big Liverpool fan, right?
That being said, Liverpool lost this weekend.
Oh, yeah. To who?
To a team called Plymouth Argyle.
Oh, wow, that's embarrassing. Yeah. What, did they use their second string side?
Probably third.
Oh, okay. So they have such a depth of field there that they can actually bring out, like, basically, you know, the children of Premier League players,
exactly,
and they make them.
They said, guys, vibes. Go get experience.
Okay. So they don't care about this. Why? There are no points in it for them.
Well, this one was A bit different. If you lose a game in the FA Cup, you immediately get knocked out. So Liverpool have been knocked out of the FA Cup.
That's a bad decision.
Yeah, that was a bit of a dumb one.
To use their third string team. Yeah. So, okay, how does that make you feel as a supporter? Are you upset about that, or does it not bother you that much because you think other tournaments are more important?
We should be beating Plymouth Argyle, regardless of which team we field. But we got a trophy. We got a final coming up in a few weeks. We made the League Cup final, so life's fine as a Liverpool fan still. We're still 6-7 points clear at the top of the log. Everything's fine. We're chilling.
Okay.
It's better than being a Man United fan.
Speaking of logs, did you enjoy your expedition to the toilet?
Without giving too many details, it was actually the other way.
What?
So do you have constipation?
No, I meant like...
Oh, you went to pee.
No. No, I am feeling under the weather.
Oh, so you vomited?
Of the nauseous kind.
Oh, did you throw up? Yeah.
A little bit.
Like my dog over the weekend. Yeah.
Good start to a Monday. It's such a good comparison.
Now, where were we? Were we talking about James or about Alice, my dog? Let me think. All right, back to the sport.
Chelsea also lost this weekend 2-1 to Brighton. Newcastle, they beat Birmingham 3-2. Everton, they lost to Bournemouth 2-0.
We're losing Leanne. We're losing Leanne. She's bored.
Do you want to talk about
ice? Look at her face.
Underwater axe fighting.
She's like,
underwater axe fighting.
Oh.
Is there such a thing?
I wish.
Underwater axe fighting. That would be quite something.
Huh? I'm going to Google it.
You'd have to be fit as hell.
Seems like a medieval sport. It
feel like a dream, you know, when you can't.
Yeah, because it would be everything slow and heavy.
Yeah.
But you'd need to be super strong to move a large implement underwater.
Mm. And then there's the breathing thing.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to, the bouts are not going to last very long, are they? But what a good idea, James. You see, that is a good idea. Underwater axe fighting.
I don't have good ideas often.
Like it. All right, what else?
That was pretty much it. I mean, Spurs, they lost to Villa 2-1 in their FA Cup final game, and that is the sport.
Okay, probably the most exciting thing this morning is a story that Leanne's found for us about a possible cure for cancer. Now, often people will talk about a cure for cancer and it ends up being like a treatment for cancer. But there's this revolutionary new treatment that has apparently got the potential to destroy tumors in less than 6 days. Now, anybody, anywhere who's ever had a relative, friend, partner, whatever it is, be diagnosed with cancer knows that this is horrible, right? You just, the breath leaves your body. You're like, what the hell? You get into the state where you're like, okay, well, it's tickets, or you think I've got to start treatment straight away. And, you know, there are lots of people now who last a lot longer with cancer than at any other stage in human history, but haven't really got a cure for it yet because it's your own cells turning against you. So what have they got now? What is this revolutionary new treatment? Because I'm all ears.
So it all started in 2022, when this lab was testing whether something like this would work, Rice University in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with these tiny little balls of chemicals, which they would place right next to a tumor. Yeah. And this obviously is in mice. And those are the scientists and their little balls.
Look like those polystyrene.
They do.
Like the pieces that come off when you've got packaging.
Yeah.
Oh.
They look bigger there than they are. They're about the size of a pinhead.
Okay.
And apparently these have been working wonders. They're now ready to start implementing it in humans.
Good. Let's go.
Yeah. So this is the latest breakthrough. That would mean no chemotherapy or radiotherapy or perhaps even tumor surgery.
Okay, so what is it about this that makes it different? Is it the nature of the chemicals or is it those little polystyrene balls?
They built their study around cytokines.
Yeah, cytokines.
Cytokines. In the study, the scientists focused on interleukin-2, which is IL-2, a cytokine that activates white blood cells to fight against cancer.
Hmm. I'm almost sorry I asked because I don't understand any of that.
Well, I knew that would might be a problem. That's right. I hadn't really mentioned.
So yeah, you weren't going to go into the detail. And then I thought, yes. Oh, I need more detail. And you were like, okay, bitch, I'll show you.
But basically what they've done is they've inserted them into places in the intestines, ovaries, and abdominal organs. So it's been found to be very effective mm-hmm. on internal organ cancer, specifically right. a type of cancer which affects the lining of your organs. So that's great news. I mean, we hear about this all the time. There are still studies and trials still going on. So, yeah,
excellent.
This is the latest in the string.
I'm all for it. I mean, who would possibly be against something like this? Test it. Let's get it going.
Binge watching apple cider vinegar.
Videos on YouTube?
No. It's a series.
Oh, you're joking.
A fairly new series. And it's based on the true story.
They really
story.
Need to come up with better names for series.
It's based on the true story of an Australian girl who lied about her cancer diagnosis.
Oh, yeah.
And amassed a major following of people who were listening to her advice for treating cancer. She said that she had terminal brain cancer. And I've actually seen the real person being outed and interviewed on Australian TV. But this is kind of her story, so it's pretty fascinating.
So you're telling me that this woman wasn't, she wasn't lying about having cancer. So she wasn't telling people, I don't have cancer when she did. You're saying she was telling people she had cancer when she didn't.
Right.
What a terrible person.
And it all stems from a mental disorder that she had developed from her childhood and the way her mother had brought her up or not brought her up. And it was a way of getting attention and love was by having these diagnoses.
Do you think that's a mental disorder, or do you think that there are just evil people in the world? Because that's interesting.
No, I think this person had a mental disorder.
We've stopped saying like people are just bad people, right?
Yeah.
Like everything is now a mental disorder. It's something happened to everyone in their childhood, or someone just needs a bit of medicine, and then they'll be just glorious. What about like just shitty people? I mean, like they used to be shitty people.
Yeah.
What happened to them?
It's so weird because she was really helpful in certain circumstances and had a passion for raising money for people with cancer.
Yeah, for lying.
Yeah. So, yeah, watching that and just how some people are so desperate.
I don't want to – I'm sure that everyone's lining up around the block to watch Apple Cider Vinegar, but how does she go about this? Does she tell everybody – she go online and tell everybody she's got brain cancer and, like, ask for money? Is this how it goes?
Not necessarily asking for money, but she develops an app which is all about – healthy eating, because she says that she believes that she can fight cancer through healthy eating.
Mm-hmm.
And she learned that from another, it's called an influencer, who really did have cancer and went to this retreat where it's run by a German Jewish woman whose father came back from the war starving, but yet the starvation had cured his tumors. So you go to this, Hirsch institution,
mm-hmm.
and you undergo this starvation or eating of certain fruits and vegetables only, and juicing and coffee enemas.
Oh, that's always nice.
In order to get rid of your cancer.
Does it have to explicitly be a coffee enema?
Yes, it does.
That's what James went to the bathroom for just now.
Not how I like my coffee at all.
All right. Well, are you still here, by the way?
I was intrigued by the cancer thing.
Well, you can go and be intrigued in your little producer's booth.
Go get Hanan.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, good. Go and get Dr. Hanan.
Go do my job for once.
He isn't vomiting and taking toilet breaks. He's not even calling our guests. Thank you, James. Unbelievable. Really. Can't get good staff these days, Leanne. At least we got Flex managing things in there while James is sitting here fucking around. I'm going to find a song for you. I'll bring it in on Wednesday. All right. Last thing before we go to Dr. Hanan. And then, by the way, I'm very excited. We're going to be joined by Dave Levinson, who I haven't had on the show for a while. Well, we had him on. He was here one morning when I overslept and I was at home and it was such a technical disaster. Do you remember? Oh, my God. Dave, I still feel bad about that. In fact, I owe you a breakfast or something. Maybe we'll have to go and do that this morning. Here's a story of an Australian politician called Ben Dawkins.
Ben Dawkins?
Yeah. He's legally changed his name to Austin Trump.
No.
As a protest against the ruling Labour Party in Western Australia. Now he's listed as Aussie Trump in Parliament and on social media. He claims to be fighting woke leftist nonsense and has called for Donald Trump to contact him. His move, which includes promoting pro-oil drilling, has been dismissed as attention-seeking by the Premier of Western Australia. The name change comes ahead of the state's elections in March and Australia's federal elections in May. Watch him do well.
Well, watch him garner Trump's attention.
Oh, that's not hard.
Turns out it's not that difficult after all.
Oh, so you named yourself Trump?
Aussie Trump.
What a great name. Yeah. The greatest name. I think you've responded very strongly to all of the pressures in Western Australia. I agree. They're very woke and leftist. Funny thing is that Dana White from Drickus's match,
yeah.
He basically said in a press conference after the whole fight, he's like, Australia is this amazing country where you've got all these animals that like want to kill you in the sea and on the land. Mm. But he said, but your media people are the biggest pussies in the world. That's what he said. And you know, like some of the people just started laughing because it's true.
Yeah.
It's clearly true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I needed to do sentiment analysis around Drickus after his pre-fight appearance.
Yes, tell us about that.
And it was negative and positive, but it's amazing how the negative was being driven by media platforms.
Yeah.
It was the media who were making the negative as negative as it was.
Because they're sacks of human feces. They are the media in this country have got to be some of the worst people. And now, by the way, you've seen that it turns out that so many of these people in the media have been funded by NGOs that are run on US taxpayer money.
Mm.
Right? So all of the things that people have been saying about, oh, but USAID, they do so much good stuff. They provide antiretrovirals to South Africans who have HIV and they do all these things. Yes, they did all of that too. But they were getting into nefarious places, sponsoring and making sure that bad people with bad intentions were in the media and had access to platforms that would spread news, misinformation, disinformation, bullshit, far and wide. It's like these are the worst people. Mm. You want to know who the bad people are? You don't hate the media enough. You need to hate them more. These are the people who stoke all of the division in this country. I mean, people are now worried about, like, you hear people saying, oh, we got to go after AfriForum. AfriForum are busy doing all kinds of stuff. They get members to pay for them. Those members are giving them the money that they've used to build all kinds of, you know, private universities and little businesses here, there, and everywhere. And they're supporting each other. You can't stop that. It's none of your business. You don't have anything to do with them. But the media organizations, oh, my God. Anyway, what a bunch of complete assholes. Let's get to Dr. Hanan and see what he has for us this morning. We always have lots to talk to Dr. Hanan about, but I think this is probably a good idea, especially because it's still that time of year where people are deciding what sort of a year am I going to have, right? And for many people, that means making big changes. So it could mean moving to another province. It could mean starting another job. It could mean starting a new relationship. And I thought it would probably be a good idea to get Dr. Hanan on. Is he there? All right. Hello, Doc.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How's your weekend?
Excellent. So far, Leanne has had a very, very good start to her day. She pranced in here even before me. She was very, very eager. So obviously, a very good start to the week if Leanne is here before me and she's raring to
go. Good signs.
So, all right, let's just talk about this, Doc. this time of year, well, pretty much any time of year, there are lots of people who decide, okay, time for some change. I'm moving house. I'm breaking up with some toxic girlfriend or boyfriend. I'm starting a new job. I'm going to give it a new go. Starting over. Starting over is a big, big deal, and it takes an enormous amount of mental strength to do that. Sometimes people are just forced through circumstances to have to make changes and start again. But I think it's a powerful thing, and it allows people to really cut ties with some bad baggage, but also potentially take up projects that if you don't do it now, you'll never do. And starting over can also be very, very difficult for people because they're reluctant to embrace the change. You often speak about change. So what advice do you have for people who are starting over?
So the reality is that we change all the time. So Gareth, you're not the same person that you were 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and you're not the same person that you're going to be in 5 years time. Yep. Our needs change, our wants change, our likes change, dislikes, what we aim towards, our goals, we change all the time. And never mind 5 years ago, you're not the same person that you were yesterday. You had experiences on the weekend, and we change in such small increments that we don't feel it, but we are different all the time because we adapt to a brand new world that doesn't stop changing. So should change happen, should you start afresh? Well, you're doing that anyway. And the suffering happens when we hold on to the fantasy of stability as opposed to the holding on to the reality of change. The reality is that things are going to change. Things are going to be different tomorrow, and you got to adapt to it. The question is, how well do you adapt to the change, and how do you, what's your protocol, what's your framework for managing change? And I always live by the following philosophy, which I've mentioned many, many times on the show, which is always be guided by your goals. And what I mean by that in this case is, like, think about it this way. If I want to head from Joburg to Cape Town, that's my goal. Mm-hmm. And somebody comes along and says to me, Hanan, can I have a lift to Durban? Well, the answer is no, because I'm heading to Cape Town. I know exactly what I want. But if I don't know where I'm going and somebody says, going to have to lift to Durban, the answer is, well, why not? I was going nowhere anyway. But what ends up happening is I wake up 20 years later and I was everywhere for everyone else except for myself. The subtle art of actually setting boundaries is knowing exactly what you want. Because when I know what I want, then I can actually tell people, this is where I want to go and this is where I don't want to go. Now, the number one mistake that people make when managing people is that they hold on to history. And I always tell people, history does not mean value. Just because somebody could service a particular goal 20 years ago doesn't mean that they could serve a particular goal now. So 20 years ago, yes, I needed to get to Durban, in inverted commas, but now I need to get to Cape Town. The person that could take me to Durban can no longer serve the needs that I have now. So start always by asking yourself, what do I want? And am I getting what I want? And if the answer is yes, I know what I want, I'm getting what I want, well, obviously you have the people around you and the resources to get you there. But if you don't know what you want, or you're not getting your desired results, then obviously you got to re-question the people and the resources that are around you.
I thought it was very interesting the way that you explained how we're different people now than we were yesterday. And most people don't take note of that. They think somehow that they're exactly the same as they were when they were 15 and that they've been consistent their whole life. They've never changed. It's only everyone around them that changes. And how dare they? You know, like, I want things to stay the same forever. There are those people in the world. There are other people who just, as things change, they seem to almost effortlessly just go with the flow, and they seem adaptable in those situations. Obviously, these are extremes, yeah. Right? You get the people who are like embracing and adaptable, and they get into change situations and they just move through it. And then there are those people who just hold on, come thick or thin, all the positives and negatives, they hang on to something which has not, it's not stayed the same, but they think it has. Now, is there a happy medium? Is there like a Goldilocks zone between those two?
Yeah, well, I mean, the change is going to happen whether you like it or not. It's not actually up to you. And how many times have I said on the show, my favorite quote of all time is, if you're not the chess player of your life, you're a pawn in someone else's. Mm-hmm. You have to adapt to the change. Otherwise, the change will just kind of, you know, move you around, shake you up according to its will. The universe doesn't actually care about you. The universe is just going to do its thing. You either adapt to it and you work with it, or you don't adapt to it and you succumb to it. So the reality is that we change all the time, and people, we have this illusion because we like stability. We actually create this illusion. We look for patterns in our lives. We think we are the same as we've always been. I never change. I'm always the same. Never mind, that's not accurate. That's not actually healthy, because right. You need to change as the world changes around you. When, you know, people that are dating, you need to change your approach when before you started dating to dating. When you become a parent, you need to change your approach. When you're working for a different company, when you are changing your career path, mm-hmm. when you make new friends, when you pick up new hobbies, when you learn something new, you have to adapt. So the happy medium, so to speak, is adapt to the change, as opposed to stay within the illusion that you are the same. You're not the same. And don't hold on to your ideals, or don't hold on to your ideas, and don't hold on to your whatever standard ethical background that you think you're holding on to. Change with the times, because the world is going to do that anyway, whether you like it or not.
Right. So is this the fuck around and find out, or fit in and fuck off principle?
Yeah, exactly that.
Exactly.
I mean, is there a difference between men and women in terms of how much they like or dislike change? Is there any measurable, is there any research that shows that, you know, maybe men are more resistant to change, or women are more adaptable, or is that just nonsense and made up? And is it more of an effect of your attitude to life than anything else?
Yeah, so I haven't come across any research that differentiates men's ability or women's ability to affect change or to work through change. But again, you got to just understand that the world is going to move around with you. And unless you almost think about riding a wave, if you don't adapt to it, it will actually just hurt you. So you got to be aware that the world is changing all the time. And it's very scary for people to know that the world is changing all the time, because you can't predict what's coming up next. But I always maintain that the people that have the right attitude, and I define attitude as a commitment to how this story ends, and people that have the right attitude are the ones that are able to adapt to change the best. And the moment you adapt to change, again, you're able to get to your goal. But I always go back to this moral code, which is know what you want. The moment you have a true north, then you will know where you're going, where you're heading to, and with the right attitude, you'll be able to adapt to obstacles around the map to get you from point A to point B.
All right. I mean, what are the most difficult things to do? Is it? I remember somebody said to me once, the most stressful things are death, obviously, of somebody in your life, divorce, and moving house. Those are the three biggies. And then some people throw in things like public speaking, which is a big scary thing for a lot of people. And I suppose that's pretty much it, right? Those are the big ticket items when it comes to change.
Yeah, so if you think about it, the biggest change are the ones where you've held on to a particular reality for so long, and in a split second that disappears. So think about your home. Your home, most people live in a home maybe for decades. So that's a stable, so-called stable environment. The moment that's gone, your brain goes, what the hell? I don't accept a new reality. Think about relationship. If you lose a loved one that you've known for decades, that's a stable reality. And within a split second, all that disappears. And your brain goes, what the hell? I want to hold on to what it was, as opposed to the reality of what it is. Think about a job. Maybe you had a certain career path you've held on for decades, and that disappears due to COVID. I don't know, maybe a breakup in partnership, or maybe some economy thing. Something breaks up and suddenly you cannot do what you've done for so long. And the brain goes, what the hell? That's all I've known for X amount of years. Now suddenly that's disappeared and I don't want to let go of what it was, because that has been my familiar. You know, I always give the analogy, how difficult changes, the way they used to train circus elephants. They used to tie a baby elephant to a tree, foot to the tree, and the elephant tried to move it, couldn't, tried to move it, couldn't. And the elephant eventually developed the idea or the belief, we call it the core belief, that it can't pull away from the tree once it's tied. But 30 years later, when the elephant is big and strong enough to do so, it still stays stuck. It doesn't want to move. And even if you pull the elephant and show the elephant that it can, the elephant doesn't want to, because it's created its life around this tree. And the brain doesn't like change. As a matter of fact, the brain would rather hold on to what it was, even though it might be unhealthy, then let go and hold on to what it should be that could be better. We call that process cognitive dissonance. The brain is not prepared to accept the new reality.
Right.
And when we hold on to things that are so stable in our world and that disappears, the brain goes through a very sufferable state. But again, it's the ability to let go and hold on to the reality as opposed to the illusion of what it was.
Yeah. I do hope that we all get better at dealing with change, because it is tough. And once you break the back of it, it does become easier. Once you learn to let go of certain things about yourself and about your circumstances, the happier you'll be, right? I mean, some people just hold on to stuff their entire life long. It just does them no good. It's hard, though. Mm. It's very hard to get people to give up, because they feel like they're losing a piece of themselves. You know, you get
very
these
much.
You get these people who have Ferebles. They've got some issue with someone in the family. There's somebody they just don't get along with, and they carry this grudge for years. And you think to yourself, you could just give this up and be happier. You can't do it.
It's about spending those coins. How much energy do you want to waste on that hatred?
You hear about these families that they've never stopped hating each other, and you think, what a terrible thing to live with for 30, 40 years. You've both changed so much by now. Surely you could just bury the hatchet.
Yeah, you gotta adapt to what it is. But you know, the difficult thing, Gareth, is that the moment you learn to accept change and adapt to change, the truth is that, unfortunately, it's not a transferable skill set. In other words, for example, if I go through a particular loss, I lose somebody that I love, and I heal and I get over it and I accept the reality. When somebody else in my life that passes on, or I go through another change, my brain doesn't go, well, you've learned it before, you've been through it before, now it should be much easier. The brain literally has to relearn how to live in a brand new reality. But that's the process of life. You say you hope that people can adapt to the change. People have no choice, because the world doesn't give you the opportunity. The universe doesn't give you the opportunity to go, well, you know, if you don't adapt, that's okay. It goes, listen, you adapt and you have a good life, or you don't adapt and you stay behind. You got no choice.
All right, there's a lot to take in there. I'm going to let you start your busy day. Thank you, Doc. Always nice to see you on a Monday.
All right, have a good day. Nice to see you.
Thank you. Always gets us off to the right start. And we will be back in just a moment or two. We got a whole hour with the brilliant Dave, which I'm excited about. Yeah, it's going to be fun. He's got yellow shoes on, like a clown. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a happy time. So Dave is with us next. Don't go anywhere. Cheers.